This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Wednesday afternoon, June 5th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. There are multiple reasons why a career in the trades can be a good choice for some students. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, there's a report in Cranes that the upscale Foxtrot convenience stores in Chicago will be reopening after a sudden closure in April. Let's discuss the latest development with Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach in Chicago. Izzy, thank you for joining us today. And 6 weeks ago, we got word that the Foxtrot markets and the Dom's kitchen locations were all closing down as a result of financial pressure, and people were attributing it to basically growing too fast. But now it looks like, Izzy, that the assets have been purchased out of bankruptcy, and Dom's is ready to go once again, or at least some of the locations.
Right. They are picking and choosing, you know, the very best locations. That's Chicago, Dallas, Austin, which makes a lot of sense. You know, go where you had the greatest amount of success and start there. But you're right, Rob. It really had a lot to do with it, a very aggressive growth strategy that really backfired.
Now, was it surprising to you, or was it surprising to those involved in Foxtrot, just the outpouring of support that came out for not only the business concept itself, but for the people who worked at Foxtrot as well?
Well, certainly it was a shock to the system of all the employees, because they had no idea that this was going to happen, and they essentially showed up to work and were told they had no job. So no notice. To those of us who, you know, shop there, patrons, it was a big shock. You saw a very busy store. All of them were busy all the time. Great concept. But it was a real surprise when you see people in an operation all the time spending a lot of money, then to find out the next day that they closed.
We're talking about the revival of Foxtrot with Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach in Chicago. However, it seemed like the stores were not, they were closed, but they weren't, it didn't look like they were going to be liquidated. It looked like there was stuff still on the shelves that someone could very easily turn the lights back on and revive the brand.
I think part of it was the hope that it would be revived, and I also think that vendors, you know, getting that product back, taking it out of the store was not quite as simple as one might think. But it's great that everything is there. It's going to make this reopening process very quick for the stores that are going to open in the next few weeks and months.
Now, Further Point Enterprises is the New York-based company that placed the winning bid in the May 10th sale of Foxtrot's assets, and they are working with the Foxtrot founder on this new business, on Foxtrot 2.0, basically. So what lessons could they apply to the new venture with a familiar name?
Well, you know, certainly the biggest lesson of all is let's get into the stores that are successful and recreate that success. And as we are developing a new strategy, and this is what they're going to do, they're going to forget opening 12-plus stores a year and go to something more reasonable, which will be closer to 2 stores a year. But they really have to put all of their effort in reviving all of these stores or the most successful stores that they're going to go ahead and reopen.
Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the Restaurant Coach in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, Reason should explore a career in the skilled trades.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
College isn't the way for all graduates, especially now when demand for skilled workers is high. We're joined by Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. And the skilled trades are, you're basically in a field that's always in demand, because if you're an electrician, the world will never run out of people like me who are afraid to rewire a light switch because I don't want to burn down the house. And so leave it to a professional.
You know, it's really more dire than we think. McKinsey just did a study recently. And while the number of new jobs is not going to be significantly higher, the multiple is going to be 22 times that, because so many people are retiring from the skilled trades. And so the volumes are going to be astronomical. And you take that need, and then you put on top of it an aging infrastructure in most of our states across the country, and then the gigantic uptick on the use of kilowatt hours, both from AI and electric vehicles. We really are about to just drive off the cliff. It won't be a battery car, though, I guess.
Right now, if you are interested in becoming an electrician or interested in becoming a plumber, what is the career path in? Because obviously there are union jurisdictions and certifications, and there are certain levels of education that you have to have before you do it yourself. So how do you plot that career path?
Right. So you hit on a couple of things. One of them is most of, like, the electricians and the plumbers typically have unions, and joining the union is the first step to go through the process. But there's a high demand for people to get in, so that's a bit capped. The other problem with getting to the journeyman status, whether let's just take a plumber or an electrician as an example, is that path to being an independent or a journeyman level can be as much as 7 years for an electrician and as much as 5 for a plumber. So you need to be able to attach yourself to a school, become part of a union, and then work as a paid intern for an organization that has those needs for a period of anywhere from 2 to 4 years before you can actually go for your journeyman.
And then what about just becoming a general contractor? Because I don't know about where you live, but in my particular corner of suburbia, the especially ritzy part of Park Ridge is the area around the country club. And yeah, you have doctors and attorneys, and they live in the country club area. But a lot of people who live there are contractors who own their own business. So there's a lot of money to be made in remodeling bathrooms and basements.
Now, you've hit on a sore spot. It turns out that the most inefficient business in the United States is home building. There's been study after study done on that, and of course there's a lot of money. And a lot of people are independent. They live and die by their subcontractors, who are all the trades that we're talking about, and they can't afford for those people to sit idle, so they'll take anything and work on it just to keep paying their guys so they don't go away.
So in this situation, you'd much rather be, instead of being the contractor, you'd much rather be their plumbing guy or their electrical guy.
Well, there's pluses and minuses to both, but I think that the trades and we haven't even touched on solar, machine operators for machines, millwork, all the other manufacturing roles. The number of opportunities out there for someone who's not interested in college. And one last thing, The cost for trades is typically around $30,000 all in to get to the point you want to get to. That's, you know, 4 years of college is typically four times that. So the cost to get in is about the same length, but a lot less expensive.
So if you have a knack for mechanics or a knack for just fixing things, and you like refurbishing things around the house, why not kick the tires on the trades? Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. Some people believe the concept of spending to save or spaving. Let's talk about the sound, whether it's a sound strategy with Ted Rossman, industry analyst, Bankrate.com, based in New York. Ted, thank you for joining us today. The phrase to spend is to save has been around for a very long time, but you have to do it correctly because you have to make sure you have to accomplish the goal of saving at the end of the day.
You're right. There are some instances, though, where this could make sense. Like some that I can think of would be investing in more quality clothing. You know, if you can buy nicer quality, timeless pieces that are going to last and you can wear them again and again, it might make sense to pay a little bit more and you might actually save in the long run. Or something like home appliances. If you get a more quality television or refrigerator or something that is likely to last, that can make more sense, even if it comes with a higher price tag up front.
Yeah, that's true, especially on the clothing side of the equation, because if you get, let's say, I'm a runner, and if you get cheaper running shoes, you could either buy three pairs of cheap running shoes that fall apart rather quickly, or just one high-quality $70 pair of shoes that you can use for the entire year.
Well, that's a great example, and also with lower quality shoes, you know, maybe then you develop shin splints or some other condition that, you know, negatively affects your running and quality of life, and maybe you run up doctor bills. And, you know, I'm sort of extrapolating a little bit, but this is the sort of thing that can happen. I mean, you could even extend this to your diet, where it may be a little more expensive to eat healthy, but it may actually ward off future health problems and doctor visits. And we don't always know what the future has in store, but these are all some instances where spending a little bit more can actually help you out in the long run. One thing we want to avoid, though, are those impulse buys. It is really important to set aside money for different spending categories, including discretionary entertainment, pre-plan for this sort of thing, and maybe consider sleeping on it before making a decision.
We're talking about spending to save with Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst, Bankrate.com in New York. Some other potential spend-to-save opportunities, qualifying for free shipping, buy one, get one programs, or subscribing to a service to qualify for a discount.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought those up, because sometimes retailers do play tricks. It's important to look at unit pricing. Sometimes if you have to buy two or three or four, you didn't really need that many in the first place. Sometimes you can still get the deal if you buy less. Like the grocery store may say five for $10 or something, but maybe you can still get that just one for $2 or something like that. The free shipping thing is definitely a tactic that a lot of online retailers use. But let's face it, you know, if you were only going to spend $25, maybe it's worth paying $5 or $10 for shipping, and instead of buying enough stuff to get that $100 threshold and you didn't really need all that in the first place. Free trials are another thing, where sometimes a free trial turns into a paid subscription. You didn't really want to pay for it. You forget about it. An object in motion stays in motion. It's a good idea to look through your credit and debit card statements periodically to identify those kind of money leaks.
Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst, Bankrate.com in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead on this Personal Finance Wednesday, setting up a summer family budget.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A body is found following an explosion and fire in the northwest suburbs, while two people are dead after another fire on the North Shore. The U.S. Embassy in Lebanon targeted by armed attackers. It's Personal Finance Wednesday, making the summer budget a family affair. It's been a long, difficult journey, but Boeing now has a craft heading to the International Space Station. WBBM Business, the markets are higher. The Dow up 34 points. NASDAQ up 263. The S&P 500 up 45. We have 73 degrees right now under cloudy skies at 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour. Three people are dead following separate incidents in the suburbs of Chicago. A body has been found after an explosion and fire in an unincorporated area of Lake Zurich. Fire Department Chief David Pilgard says the blast damaged the gas line.
Natural gas was free-flowing and burning. It was at the front corner of the house.
The homeowner is a 77-year-old man, and an official identification has not been released. And then in Highland Park overnight, the bodies of two people were recovered after a house fire in the 1700 block of Park Avenue West. Investigators are working to determine the cause. An overseas diplomatic post, an American diplomatic post, has come under fire.
A gunman targeted the U.S. Embassy in Lebanon near Beirut in a shootout that injured an embassy security guard, say officials. The gunman was shot in the stomach and leg, captured by Lebanon's military, and taken to a hospital, they say. A man who works at a gas station in the area says he heard about 15 to 20 rounds of gunfire and ran over to see what was happening, but the army blocked him from going forward. There was no immediate word about a motive for this shooting, but photos appear to show a bloodied attacker wearing a black vest with the words Islamic State written on it. Soon after the shooting, Lebanon identified the suspect as a Syrian national. The U.S. Embassy is wishing the injured embassy security guard a full recovery, but says out of respect for his privacy, can't say anything more. Lebanon says investigations are underway. I'm Rita Foley.
It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. The markets are higher. We're joined by Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com, based in San Diego. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And the NASDAQ is higher, and that's because NVIDIA continues to be the engine that could.
It certainly is. And again, when a good story takes hold of Wall Street, Rob, as you well know, Wall Street will run it, as long as they can. And NVIDIA is a great story. I would suggest to listeners that they look up the history of RCA from the 1920s. The stock went from 6 in 1921 to 568 in 1929, only to drop to $15 a share in 1932. So, you know, the bloom will come off the rose of NVIDIA, but we're obviously not there yet. It's a great company, and they're in the sweet spot of the economy.
Now, when it comes to the numbers we have out today, we do have the private payroll report from ADP, and I think we've made this point ad nauseum on this program that it's basically lost all of its predictive power about what the government jobs report is going to say on Friday morning just because of differences in methodology. But the ADP number came in below analysts' expectations, so if you are an inflation dove and a Fed dove, you are flapping your wings today.
Well, I have, over recent months, Rob, pointed to numerous indicators which suggest we're going to see job growth slow, which really isn't much of a headline because job growth has been slowing when you look like a three-month moving average for probably 18 months. So we are going to see job growth slow. In my view, we're going to see the unemployment rate tick above 4% before the end of this year. And I think it'll be quite a bit higher next year. So whether this particular report is going to, you know, really amplify that showing is secondary to the fact that we are going to see, I think, more slowing in job growth. And I think at some point in time, that's going to be a negative surprise for equity investors, because right now everyone is expecting no recession to come along.
And on top of that, it seems like the interest rate optimism is beginning to creep back into the conversation, because not too long ago we were talking about the Fed possibly cutting rates in December, if at all, because they don't want to become embroiled in a political controversy. But now some of the prediction markets are indicating that maybe we could have two cuts this year beginning in September.
The prediction markets, Rob, are the worst things to pay attention to. They are always wrong. Remember, in December, the prediction markets were looking for six cuts. A month ago, they thought there might be an increase. So I would ignore that. Again, I think from an economic standpoint, the economy is going to slow more than expected, which is a tailwind for Treasury bond prices coming down. And then technically, and this is something I reviewed in the recent the June issue of Macro Tides. If somebody wants to receive that, I'm happy to send it out. Jim Welsh, macro@gmail.com. I went through the chart pattern of TLT, which is a proxy for Treasury bonds, Rob, and what that suggested to me is we're going to see TLT rally in coming months, and I think the back story will be how the economy slows more than expected. So I'm putting more weight on the chart pattern and economic analysis than the non-predictive markets.
Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, MacroTides.com, based in San Diego. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, bringing the family together to come up with a budget for summer.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. In this segment, we're looking at putting together a budget for summer, family style. Let's get some help from Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder Rappaport Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, author of the book Maximize Your Return on Life. Friday is the last day of school for the girls in the Hart household, and I guess before we run out to Dairy Queen to get some ice cream to commemorate the event, we should break out the spreadsheets and gather around the table and set up a budget for ice cream this summer.
Well, I don't know if you need a budget for ice cream. That should be a non-negotiable of families. But a family budget, there's a lot of things in store. There's summer camps, vacations, sports, just doing staycations. So sometimes it's great just for the family to sit down and discuss what do we want this summer. You probably had to make a decision on camps a while back. And if you are already committed to camps, what's left in the budget for the other things to do over the summer?
Yeah, it seems like the big stuff, you know, summer camp. We had a segment on the show back in January about the importance of signing up for summer camps earlier rather than later, because that's when you get the good prices. But you do bring up some good points. I mean, they're the big ticket items. Probably the money has already been set aside for things like camp or vacation. But then having the discussion about what do we do and how do we spend our money once we get there, that's a conversation worth having.
It definitely is. And as you mentioned, a lot of these expenses, you know, might come in January or even next fall. So, you know, talking about the budget this year and then learning from that budget to create a budget next year, it's almost too late to start budgeting in May or June for the summer. So I think being proactive is really important. And I love getting the whole family involved. You know, maybe next summer the family wants to go to Europe and they're willing to give up camp. But that should be a discussion and something that they should decide on together.
And then also, you know, there's nothing that goes over your kids' heads. That's one thing I've definitely discovered. They're a lot smarter than you can give them credit for. And they enjoy being a part of this process. And they also appreciate knowing how much things cost.
Definitely. And, you know, once you make that budget, there's maybe some things as a family you can save so that you have more money for the budget for summer activities. Growing up, my dad, it was actually a negative, but he used to fine us, it was 50 cents at the time for any light that we would leave on when we left a room. So we had this big chart in the kitchen, and I'm really good at shutting lights off now, but it was ingrained in me. But, you know, those are things over time. Another really big one, and my husband and I just did this, was a subscription audit. Are you guys all still watching all these streaming services? Do you have Audible on there? Do you have all these subscriptions that you kind of forgot about? You can look in your iPhone and see what subscriptions you have. And I think it's really a good audit. A health club, maybe you'll put your health club on hold for a few months because you're going to bike outside or you're going to be traveling or you're going to do outside activities. So, you know, it's not only the expense side, but maybe you can look at ways to reduce the expenses, not just increase the expenses.
So 50 cents per light left on, huh?
Yeah, believe me, I don't leave a room now without turning the lights off. So
I have to really, really ponder that one. And then when it comes to, I think another a good place to set some budgetary guidelines is just on the amount you spend on food and entertainment, because the temptation is there, especially when it's really nice out and you like your neighbors. Hey, come on over. We're gonna have a barbecue. I'm gonna throw some ribs in the smoker, and then you do that five or six times. That really adds up.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, people have been really watching. The price of food is up, and actually even ordering in is up. So, you know, maybe you have a potluck. Everyone brings something to the table. We did that in our neighborhood. We had a block party, and everyone brought something, and it was fun to taste everyone else's food. Maybe someone brings the drinks. But I do think, you know, eating at home and reducing that dining out budget can have a big impact on saving for the big items.
So the things you can talk about when you get together and set that family budget for the summer. Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder, Rappaport-Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, author of the book Maximize Your Return on Life. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, the third time's the charm for Boeing in launching astronauts.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Boeing's Starliner spacecraft is carrying NASA astronauts to the International Space Station for the first time. Let's discuss the trials and tribulations with Peter King, space reporter, CBS News Radio. Peter, thank you for joining us today. I know you've had an especially busy day on the network, but when it comes to Starliner, the third time was indeed the charm this morning.
Absolutely, Rob, and it was a perfect day for a launch. The weather cooperated. We only got to see it here with the naked eye for about 30 seconds because it ducked behind a cloud, but everything looked perfect, and everything from the mission managers tells us it's all going well so far.
Before we talk about the development of the Starliner spacecraft, I do want to geek out for just one moment, and that is the Atlas V rocket. That's got some get up and go.
Yes, it really does. And, you know, I'm not sure if it's seen this way to others here, but it even sounded louder than the SpaceX rockets, which are pretty loud in their own. But, yeah, this is not the first time I've heard that kick, get up and go. I got a couple of notes from friends who said, yeah, it looks like it was even faster than the shuttle used to be. And that was pretty quick. But there's a lot of power on that Atlas V. And not only the core engines, but the two solid rocket boosters that are part of the package.
The price tag, over $5 billion to get Boeing to this point. There have been a number of technical setbacks. But now that that the Starliner is in orbit, it's being put through its paces at the International Space Station by the crew of two astronauts. What's the end game now? Is the goal just simply more competition for NASA as it chooses between the SpaceX Dragon capsule and Starliner to ferry people to and from the space station?
Well, actually, it's not a competition. NASA's plan all along was to have more than one provider to do that, so they have a backup stream in case one of the providers had a failure. Think about it this way. If SpaceX has a launch failure on one of its Falcon 9 rockets, that grounds everything until they figure out what went wrong. Right now, SpaceX is flying twice a year to the space station, not to mention the other commercial clients it's flying for. They try to keep a pretty tight schedule in terms of getting these launches off. And if there's a problem with the SpaceX rocket, assuming that the Boeing test flight goes well, then they have the other options. So the general plan, though, is to have them alternate once a year with SpaceX, once a year with Boeing, and it could turn out to be more frequent than that.
And I know we're talking about a different program, but will the success of Starliner, if it comes back and everything is okay, how does that have any bearing on the Artemis program, mission number two, to take people to the moon?
None whatsoever. They're completely separate programs. The Artemis capsule, the Orion capsule, is built by Lockheed Martin, which has nothing to do at all with the Starliner spacecraft. So, you know, they're completely separate.
But still exciting things happening at Cape Canaveral, which is looking more and more like Grand Central Station these days.
Well, it really is. We've had somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 launches this year so far, most of them by SpaceX. And it almost seems like there's one going off every other day. It's not quite that much, but they're really frequent down here. And it's fun to be on the Space Coast.
Peter King, space correspondent, CBS News Radio. Thank you for joining us today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.